too, because of his death and wonderful resurrection. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today, the transfiguration of our Lord. What does this really mean? We pray. Lord, you promise that when your word is taught and proclaimed, it would not return to you empty, but it will accomplish what you desire. We pray as we hear now, Lord, that you would accomplish in us faith. Give us great faith to listen to Jesus. Give us the hope of glory and give us your great peace that passes all understanding. Give us your Holy Spirit to help us to hear and learn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please do not get up and leave. And please do not boo and do not hiss. And please do not throw hymnals at the pulpit, because I am going to introduce the topic for the sermon today, and it's one that we Lutherans typically don't like. The topic is change. We all know we don't like to change anything. Pastor, what are we changing today? Well, the gospel lesson is all about change. We call today the transfiguration of our Lord. Transfiguration is really a fancy word for change. And the transfiguration is really not just about the Lord changing. He can do this anytime. He doesn't need to change. It's really about how he wants to change us. How he wants to transfigure us, because we are the ones that need changing. So let me talk about change today. Good changes, wonderful changes. Three changes that the Lord wants to bring about in our lives. And this is a lesson from the Transfiguration. So our prayer today, even as Lutherans, is change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Say it with me. Change me, Lord. No boos, no hisses, no hymnal throwing. These are good changes. First of all, this story would teach us that Jesus has come, the most obvious point. He has come to change rejection into resurrection. He's come to change death into life. He's come to change that which is gory into glory. Now that's a change we want, isn't it? A simple way to think of the transfiguration, to understand it, is to see it as a little Easter. Easter's coming, Lent this Wednesday, then Easter. And the transfiguration is a little Easter. It is a glimpse, a preview of our risen Lord who will ascend, who will shine in glory, who will win the victory over sin, death, and all of hell. And so when we read this story, we can shout, "He is risen. He is risen indeed, alleluia. And I will rise. I will rise indeed, alleluia." That's a lesson here. He changes death into life. The timing of this is important. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die. And he has just taught the disciples for the first time in a very clear, simple, straightforward way that he's on the way to Jerusalem, not to be crowned as king and to reign as some wonderful political, military Messiah, but he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to be rejected. He's going to be killed. On the third day, he will rise. And he says even more to the disciples, if you're going to come after me, you're really going to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Death, crosses, suffering, pain. And this has the disciples undoubtedly very confused and very upset. What's this business of death and being killed and crosses? Romans put criminals on crosses. What's all this about? They're confused, they're shocked, they're down. It kind of bursts their bubble of what they thought was going to happen. They're going to go reign in Jerusalem forever as a new King David or Solomon. He's talking about dying. So the Lord loves his disciples. And for a little moment here, he shows them the victory to come. He shows them his glory. As if he's saying to his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and to us who suffer, who see death all around us, sickness and disease and pain all around us, as if to say, hey, don't be afraid. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. It's going to be hard, but resurrection is coming. Glory is coming. Victory is coming. So don't panic. Don't be afraid. Keep the hope and keep the faith. He is saying, I'm going to die, but I will rise. I will be beaten, But oh, I will be beautiful, and so you will be beautiful in heaven. I will shed my blood. You will see it all over the place. But I will shine in glory with my Father and Elijah, Moses, and all the saints, and you'll be with me. Just wait. There will be a cross. It's going to be hard. But oh, the crown awaits us. There is rejection now. Yes, rejection. But oh, the resurrection is to come on the third day. So don't panic. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen. And the same for us. Don't be afraid of what's happening on this earth or what will happen. The pain and death and suffering and rejection of the church. For glory is to come, and we've already won in Christ. Rejoice. We've all seen previews of movies, haven't we? And you see a preview of a movie, and you see what they show there, and you have one of two reactions normally. You say, that's really going to be a bad movie. I'm not going to go see that movie. That's bad. Or you say what? That's really going to be a good movie. I want to go see that movie. It looks like it's going to be really good. Let's go see it next week or sometime soon. Well, the Transfiguration is a preview of Easter, a preview of heaven. Do you want to go or not? Let's hear an hallelujah. Hallelujah. He changes rejection into resurrection. A second change. He would change selfishness into service and sacrifice. This is a secondary lesson, but a lesson none the least. Notice the reaction of Peter, James, and John. They want to stay. Peter, it's good to be here. Let's build three shelters and stay a while. They're away from the crowds. All the crowds, the pain and the suffering of the crowds. They always want Jesus. There's sickness and death. There's demon-possessed people out there. They're away from all of that for a little moment here. They're enjoying the glory, Elijah and Moses, and the glory of Jesus, and the Father shows up. Oh, let's stay for a while. They're a little bit selfish. Forget the world. Let's go on up into heaven. Let all those people be damned, so to speak. Yet they can't stay, can they? The Transfiguration, one thing you notice about it, it's so short. It's a short little reading, then it's over. Why can't they stay? Because there's more work to do. There's much more work to do. Jesus has not come just to show off and shine in glory on a mountain. He has come to shed his blood on the Mount of Disfiguration called Calvary's Cross. He's come to be a servant, to give his life as a ransom for all, to be the once and for all sacrifice for the sins of the world. He must pay for our sins. He must die for Elijah and Moses and Peter, James and John, and for you and I and the whole world. He has work to do to save the world. So it's back down the mountain to the valley to save this world of ours. In other words, disciples, don't be so selfish. We cannot stay. Learn to be a servant. Learn to give your life as a living sacrifice. There's work to be done until we get to glory. And then we rest forever. So get your work done while it is still light. And so it is good to be here. This is our Mount of Transfiguration. It's good to be here. The wonderful windows are so lit. We behold Christ in his word and sacrament. We hear absolution. Our sins are forgiven. We're going to commune at God's table, the body and blood of our Lord. I'm at peace with God. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm with Christ, away from my job for a while, away from the worries and the doctor's appointments and the sickness and the disease and all the bad reports about everything on the news. I'm away from all that, in the house of God to hear God's word and receive a sacrament. Oh, it's wonderful. But we can't stay. We're just here a short little time. And it's back down the steps. And it's back to life. And all the needs of all the people. And all the suffering. And all the pain. And all the lost people. There's work to do. To teach and teach of Jesus. To preach and preach of Jesus. To love our neighbor as ourselves. To be merciful to all people. To forgive 70 times 7 times. To be a servant to the world. To be a living sacrifice for my God. That all would know his love through me, a humble vessel. There's work to be done. Don't be so selfish. It's not really about you. It's about Christ and your neighbor. Did you hear where I believe there's legislation coming or is already here in Tennessee to make the Bible the state book of Tennessee? I guess we have a state flower, whatever it is, a state animal, whatever it is. But some legislator wants to make the Bible the state book of Tennessee. Well, if that happens, our job is done, isn't it? The Bible's the state book. We don't have a mission. Let's just all go to heaven because everybody's going to believe the Bible in Tennessee. It's our state book, right? Wrong. I don't care if the Bible's a state book of Tennessee or not. The Bible's not here to be a state book of any state. It's to be in our hearts. The Bible has to get in the hearts of people. Not in some piece of legislator in Nashville. And it's not the job of politicians to put the Bible in people's hearts. It's the job of the church. We are called, pastors and teachers and all of us, to tell the Bible, to tell the good news of Jesus, to tell of his love, the cross and the resurrection to our neighbor's ears, that it gets into his heart and he believes. Lots of work to be done. That the Bible reign in people's hearts where it counts and gives faith. He would change our selfishness. It's all about me. To be a sacrifice and a servant as I leave church. Who can I tell? And finally, the transfiguration would teach us Jesus comes to change fear to faith. He comes to change fear into faith. Notice at the end, the disciples we read are terrified. The disciples, that they like it for a little while, then they're terrified. What are they terrified of? I'm not so sure they're terrified of Jesus. They know Jesus by now, although it's probably a bit scary. They're not terrified of Elijah and Moses. They are terrified at the coming presence of the Father. The Father comes in the bright cloud and envelops them, we read. The cloud's not way up there, far away. The cloud of the Father comes right there among them. They're in the cloud, and they are terrified. Rightfully so. Peter, James, and John are sinful human beings. They're in the presence of the holy, holy, holy God, and they're sinful, sinful, sinful people. You and I'd be terrified too. In their minds, they're probably recalling Mount Sinai, where the great cloud of God, the smoke of God, the fire of God was on the mountain, and God said, "Stay away! If you come close, you're going to die. I'm holy and you're sinful. Stay away, people." And they probably think of the temple, where the bright cloud of God rested over the Ark of the Covenant. And no one could go back to that Holy of Holies except the high priest once a year, and a big curtain was there. Stay away, you're going to die. And now that bright cloud is right there on them. They think they're going to die. And yet they don't die. They come down the mountain with Jesus. How can it be? They should have died. They're in the presence of the holy, holy, holy God. Someone stands in the way. Someone is their mediator. Someone is their go-between. And his name is Jesus. And God the Father, as he comes to them, and God the Father says, "You guys run and hide. You're going to die, you bums." God the Father says, "This is my son. Listen to him." The Father knows they're terrified, but notice he points them to Jesus. "This is my son. Listen to him." And Jesus, as I said, had just been talking about the cross. Listen to him talk about the cross. "It's because of the cross that you can be with me. Because of the cross, you're going to be with Elijah and Moses. Because of the cross, your sins are forgiven. And I will forgive you and wash you and cleanse you. Because of the cross, we're going to be together forever, not just for a few minutes." So in other words, he's saying to Peter, James, and John, "Don't be afraid. Don't be so terrified of me. Through Jesus, I forgive, and we're at peace, and we'll be in heaven. Have faith. Trust me. Trust Jesus. Listen to his word. Trust the cross and the resurrection." Conclude with a cute Valentine story, if you will, since it was Valentine's Day yesterday. Love. You might like this. There's a point at the end of it. On the first night of their honeymoon, the husband isn't sure how to tell his bride about his stinky feet and smelly socks, while the wife is wondering how to break the news to him about her awful breath, which so far she's been able to cover up. After some soul searching, the husband gathers his nerve and says, "Honey, I have a confession." She draws closer, peers into his eyes and says, "Darling, so do I." Recoiling, he says, "Don't tell me you've eaten my socks." Kind of cute. He doesn't want to confess his stinkiness, and she doesn't want to confess her stinkiness. We don't want to confess our stinkiness to anybody, let alone God. But because our God's so forgiving, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, may we confess. May we confess how stinky and rotten this thing is right here, my heart. And my voice and my mouth and my eyes and my ears and my head and my brain and my thoughts and my desires. I stink head to toe, God. I reek. Forgive me and have mercy. And that's what we do today. And that's what we'll do through the season of Lent. Get on our knees and say, "God, I reek. But because of Jesus, my go-between, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, I know you will forgive. And you'll forgive me again, and forgive me again. And we'll be one together forever." So is change so bad, First Lutheran? This change is good. Jesus comes to change us, to transfigure us, to change rejection to resurrection, to change selfishness into service and sacrifice, to change our fears into faith. Change me, Lord. Say it again. Change me, Lord. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.